Welcome to On the Way with Tony Crisp. Each weekday, Dr. Crisp will be discussing biblical passages, people, places, and prophecies. Tune in daily to start your day right and deepen your understanding of how to better walk the way and enjoy the journey. Here's your host, Dr. Tony Crisp.
Welcome to On the Way. This is Tony Crisp, and this is podcast 1113. Well, we're dealing with the great heroes of the faith. And yesterday I spoke with you in podcast 1112 about Abraham. And today I want to continue that, and I want you to turn in your text, if you can and when you can, mark these scriptures, because we're leaving Genesis and going to Hebrews chapter 11, verses 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, and then we will begin to follow Isaac and Jacob next. But I want us to look at what the Bible says about faith and about what made Abraham a great man of faith. Remember what the scripture says. Verse 6 of chapter 11 of Hebrews, but without trust, without faith, it is impossible to please God, to please Him, for he who comes to God must believe that He is. In other words, that He is who He said He was, that He is indeed the Creator God, that indeed He is God, the one who seeks us, who finds us, who draws us, who brings us to Himself so that He can make Himself known to us. For he who comes to Him must believe that He is, and that He is the rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. Now think about this. God has a part. Yes, He is the initiator. Yes, He is the drawer. But you and I have to respond. You and I have to obey. You and I have to act out our faith, walk out our faith. You see, you don't hear very much about that, or you hear it to extremes. Or you hear to extremes, it's all God, you have no part in it. Well, that's not true. The Bible teaches over and over again, confluent throughout the Bible, that God has a part, and you and I are assigned a part by God Himself. And after all, He's God. He's the one that assigns the part, and it's not up to you and I to say, well, I don't think, it doesn't matter what you think. It doesn't matter what I think. It matters what God says. And in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 8, it says, by faith, Abraham obeyed. Yes, by trusting God, he walked in the light that he had. And God loves that. By faith, Abraham obeyed God when he was called. Not later on down the road, but when he was called to go to the place which he would receive as an inheritance. He went out not knowing where he was going. Now, how can a man do that unless he is trusting the one who called him? Unless he is trusting the one who guided him? This is what I want you to see. What makes us great? The lineage we come from? The accolades we receive through education, through training? No. All of those things are important and many more. But what is most important in the kingdom of God is trusting the God who made us, the God who redeemed us, the God who saved us, the God who has His greatest purpose in mind. And the only way we can access Him is by trust. We cannot see Him. We cannot feel Him. We cannot touch Him. As they did Jesus, according to the Gospel of John, according to 1 John chapter 1, read the first 3 to 4 verses if you want some empirical evidence that John gives, who was an eyewitness, not only he, but he gives testimony of others as well. But you and I walk by faith, not by sight. We walk by trust, in trusting God's word. What did Abraham trust? He trusted God's word. What is God's word to us? God's word to us is the written word of God, what we call the Bible. You say, but God spoke to me. Well, if God spoke to you, it'll be consistent with what the Bible says, not what some crazy scheme you came up with or some crazy scheme that I came up with. Don't you understand that the devil himself can turn himself and exposes himself as an angel of light, not as some dark ooze from the swamp? That's what he really is. But indeed, he deceives us. And so the only true plumb line we have, the only template, the only paradigm, the only absolute to which we can appeal is the Bible, the very words of God. So Abraham obeyed the word that he had. We must obey the word that we have. We've got orders. Let's follow them. And he went out not knowing where he was going. Well, how did he know where to go? God was leading him. How do you and I know where to go? God is leading us. That's how we become great. By faith, he dwelt in the land of promise in a foreign land, dwelling in tents with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs, his own heirs that he was promising them based upon the same promise that he received, the heirs with him of the same promise. In other words, God reiterated his promise not only to Abraham many times, but also to Yitzhak, Isaac, his son, to Jacob, who later was renamed Israel after his encounter with God, with his personal encounter with God that we'll talk about in the days to come. But they dwelt in tents. They never had palaces to dwell in. They never had huge places to live. No, they dwelt in tents. Why? Because they were strangers and foreigners. They had not received the promises yet. But it says they waited. What does faith teach us? Faith teaches us obedience. Yes, faith. Grace enables obedience. Yes, but faith also teaches us to wait, to not be so impatient. We are so impatient in our culture. I can remember the day when I first started ministry, before all of the modern technology, that when you wrote letters, someone would give you a week to get a letter back to them and still be patient because it took the mail time to get there and get it to you. They call it snail mail now, because it seems so slow in communication. And then you had time to read it over, to contemplate it, write it back, and then put it in the mail. But now, if you send someone an email and they don't just jump right on it, all of a sudden they think if you don't answer them within 24 hours that you didn't get it. Many times they'll follow up, or they'll just think they're not interested, because people think all you've got to do is just watch your phone or watch your computer and live on it. Well, today, if you send a text and somebody doesn't respond right back, and I'm telling you, this is my own family. If one of my children send me, or my grandchildren send me a text, or my wife sends me a text, if I don't respond immediately, even if they know that I don't always respond immediately, they will say, did you get my text? Did you not get my text? Well, why didn't you get back with me? It's almost like if you don't instantly put a little harp, an emoji, something on there that you got it and acknowledge that, then they think something's wrong. See, this is what we've gotten to, and it is just a symptom. It's not the root. It's the symptom of impatience and instant gratification that we have in our present culture. Well, that is antithetical to what the scriptures teach that faith is. Faith is long-suffering. Faith and trust in God is trusting God that he will provide in his timing, not in ours. And look what the scripture says in verse 11 of chapter 11 of Hebrews. Sarah, look at what it says about Sarah. Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed, and she bore a child when she was past age. Listen to this. Because she judged him faithful who had promised. Yes, there's Sarah, the one that we're always downing, the one that we're always talking about who laughed. And no, God says she was a woman of faith. I mean, she wouldn't have even gotten near Abraham unless Abraham said, well, God said he's going to give us a child. And so they had enough faith to have sex. You say, wait just a minute. That's not having having faith, having sex. When you're 100 years old and 90 years old, it's an act of faith. I'm telling you, it is. You say, well, now you're joking about it. No, I'm not joking about it. This is exactly what God says happened. A 100-year-old man, let me tell you, that's an act of faith to say, honey, I want to meet you tonight in the tent, and I'm going to be romantic, and you're going to be romantic. I won't tell you, that's an act of God. That's faith. Now, I know some of you are laughing right now, saying, I can't believe he said that. Well, just live a little bit longer, and you will. Okay, so moving right along. Therefore, from one man, and him as good as dead. Look what it says, as good as dead. I mean, that's talking about sexually, reproductively. Were born as many as the stars of the sky in multitude, innumerable as the sand by the seashore. Wow. And that was done by a man who was already dead sexually, a woman who was already dead in her womb and reproductive organs. But they trusted that the God who said, do this, and I will bless you, is able to go beyond the natural. You see, that's the world we live in. We say, well, if I can't figure it out, well, if I can't reason this out, then it's not God. No, if you can reason it out, if you can figure it out, if you've got all the bases covered, why do you need God? You see, we've lived so low, so long, that when someone just lives normal, we think they are some kind of giant in the faith when they're just doing what the great men and women of God have done down through the century. Vance Havner, many of you have read his works. Vance Havner said, we have lived subnormal so long that when we just live a normal Christian life and following Jesus, what would have been recorded in the New Testament? We're above normal. We're abnormal. We're crazy maniacs for Jesus. Now look at what verse 13 says. Now all of these, that is Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Sarah, all died in trust. They died in faith. But look at this, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, were assured of them. They were confident of them. They embraced them. They confessed them. And they confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. Now listen to this. For those who say such things declare plainly that they seek a homeland. And truly, if they had called to mind that country from which they had come out, they would have had opportunity to return. But look at this. But now they desire a better, that is, a heavenly country, a heavenly home, a heavenly land. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared for them a city. Now, tomorrow I'm going to go into verse 17, 18, 19, 20, and so forth. But what I want you to understand is this. God said, get out from here, Abram, from Ur in Mesopotamia, the Chaldees it's called. And I'm going to show you a land, and I'm not going to tell you where it is until you go there, until you get there, until you follow me. I'm going to lead you to one city, Haran, and then I'm going to take you to the place. So you're going to have to trust me the whole way. And along the way, it's not going to be pleasant. Your dad's going to die along the way. But you need to get out of here and trust me right now. And so that's what he did. God liked it. God showed him more. Because you see, if you don't walk in the light you have, you won't get any more light. I mean, if you're not obeying the light you have, God's not going to show you more light, so you negotiate not obeying it. That's what we do. God, show me your will. Well, God, no. Show me your will. Whatever it is, I'll do it. In other words, you go to the bottom of the page before God ever fills in the blanks, and you sign your name yes. You say, dear God, at the top, I'll do whatever you want me to do, and let him write the letter, and then you sign your name, okay? Before you ever know what is, God gives the best to those who leave the choices in life to him, period. And so faith is not seeing. Faith is trusting, and then God makes it happen. That's the way he always does it. But now listen to this. I just want to give you a clue of what this is talking about. Oh, my soul, we could go for days on this. Now, I want you to think with me this reality. Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, their wives, even though they were great people of faith, never got to realize the title deed where their ancestors would live in their lifetime. They died trusting God. They died believing and assured that God would bring up to pass to their ancestry and lineage and do exactly what he said he would do. But Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob only owned one thing, one parcel of land that was in Hebron, that was in Mamre, that was the burial plot at Machpelah in Hebron. All they owned was their graves. They never saw any of it. They never saw Joshua bringing the children of Israel into the land. They never saw the great miracles. They never saw all of those things that their lineage saw, that we read about. They did not ever see. That is, Abram never knew that. Isaac never knew that. Jacob never saw what he predicted in Genesis chapter 50, that Judah would hold a scepter. He could not ever know David in person, the greatest of all kings of Israel, other than the Lord Jesus. But they trusted that God would bring it to pass. They didn't know how he would do it. They never saw that, but they received the assurance that God was able to do that. Now think about that, that they were willing to walk in the obedience that they knew about, that they walk in the light that they had, in order that they could obey God, and God honored their trust in him and their obedience because of their trust in him. And we're still reading about them today. So, by faith, Abraham obeyed. By faith, he dwelt in the land of promise as a foreign country. He never got anything out of it except a grave plot. And he waited for something better. He died in faith. Sarah died in faith. She and Abraham, even though they were old, they trusted God and they had sexual relations and God brought their bodies to life again. What a time that must have been. And when they saw the end of it, they laughed for joy. And they named the boy Yitzhak. God brought joy to their hearts, even in their old age, because they trusted in his word. For On the Way, this is Tony Crisp.
Thanks for listening to On the Way with Tony Crisp. Tune in every weekday for information on biblical passages, people, places, and prophecies. Fridays are for your questions. Email your questions to questions@tonycrisp.org, then just listen for your question to be answered on Friday's podcast. That's questions@tonycrisp.org. Thanks for listening, and have a blessed day on the way.